Welcome to Back to the Sources, a podcast for those looking for a window into the life of Concordia Seminary and our library, whether you are a theologian, pastor, or prospective student. Each episode explores deep theological questions, profound insights, and topics of interest, brought to you by both professors and students alike. We hope that these conversations enrich your faith, academic, and professional development by connecting you to our rich resources. Back to the Sources is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.
Welcome to Back to the Sources. This is a podcast of the Hasse Memorial Library. My name is Kendall Davis. I'm an STM student in exegetical theology. And today I have a special guest.
An organist. I've worked as a church musician for a good few years now, and I'm currently the director of music at Zion Lutheran Church in Valley Park, Missouri, which means that worship planning, liturgical worship, those sorts of things are a very real part of my life a lot of the time.
It's kind of your jam, as the kids would say.
I suppose you could say that.
I think the reason I brought you here today is I think that, so planning worship and doing worship obviously is something that happens quite often for pastors. It's a thing that they do from time to time.
Usually every week.
Yeah, at least. But it's also something that I think that we only spend a pretty small amount of our time in the curriculum, certainly. And there's, you know, so many other things to do, and those are fun conversations. But I think often it's hard to know. It's a sort of thing that unless you already know where to go to or how things are supposed to work, it's hard to figure it out.
Yeah.
There's not just like a dictionary of liturgy that I can just look up, or maybe there is, and I'd actually love to hear about it. But I'd like to start kind of from, so let's say there's a student who they're not used to kind of, we know what we would call traditional liturgical worship in a lot of, what happens in a lot of average LCMS congregations. Maybe they haven't gone on vicarage yet, and they want to just kind of have an introduction to what this is. How would you explain what liturgical worship is, what we're doing as Lutherans, and kind of, are there any resources that you would recommend for kind of just getting a basic orientation to kind of what's going on and how to do it?
Yeah, so I think a good place to start with this is the biblical witness. That's usually a good place to start with these conversations.
Amen.
And when you start with the witness of the book of Acts, for example, you can see that what the church is doing in the days and years following the resurrection and ascension of our Lord is that they're getting together regularly to do a particular set of things. Things like listening to the scriptures and listening to their interpretation in the forms of preaching, praying, and breaking bread, which is to say the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper. So the historic liturgy then is essentially the way that the church has developed over the millennia of how you do those things the church has always done well. Because if you're going to try and get together all the time and to do these things, to pray and to preach and to hear the word and to receive the sacraments, then a bunch of questions are naturally going to come up from doing that, right? Questions like, when should the pastor preach his sermon? Mm-hmm. Where is he going to stand when he preaches his sermon? Is there going to be a piece of furniture there that he stands in, like a pulpit or something like that? What kind of prayers are we going to say around communion? You know, these are all the questions that are kind of come up out of trying to live into this pattern that the scriptures give us.
And it's the sort of questions you have to answer one way or another.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't have a choice to not answer them, right? You're going to do something about the sermon. The pastor is going to do it at some point, and he's going to stand somewhere. So, you know, you have to answer the question.
Sure.
So the historic liturgies are the ways that the church has kind of figured out over the centuries, how do we do these things well? How do we do them in a way that amplifies the message that the church is trying to get out there? And that kind of proceeds out of this common life that we have together. So you asked about resources. I think if you want kind of a brief historical introduction of how the Lutheran liturgy came to be the way it is, how we kind of answered these questions and found these ways of praying and receiving God's word together, I think some of the early chapters of Timothy Mashke's Gathered Guests are actually a really good place to start. That book, we have it in the library here at the seminary. It's a very common LCMS resource. I'm pretty sure it's put out by Concordia Publishing House. And towards the beginning in the opening chapters, he gives a really good kind of introductory level explanation of how the church's liturgical life has developed over the centuries.
Sure, something real approachable. Now, let's say I'm kind of an average seminary and I'm taking a call, or maybe I'm going on vicarage, and I'm all of a sudden having to plan worship for the first time. You know, I know how to do a basic divine service you'd see in the Lutheran service book, LSB, or I know how to pick, you know, hymns that, you know, everybody loves. But what, how do you figure out how you do kind of all these kind of little detailed things? Like, I remember running into this on vicarage, like over Holy Week. Like, there were certain questions like, oh, like, what do we do for X, Y, and Z on Maundy Thursday? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't remember, like, what I was used to.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, like, I, like, had to, like, know and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you go? Like, how do you figure out all these kinds of little detailed things as you're actually doing it day to day, week to week?
No, that's a really good question. And I think that inside of that question, there are actually two kinds of questions that pastors are usually asking when they're talking about these sorts of things. So I kind of like to speak to both of them.
Yeah.
The first one is the question of what do I say? And the second one is the question of what do I do?
Okay.
Right? So in terms of what do I say, like, there are a lot of services and prayers and things like that that pastors do that actually aren't covered in the pew edition of the hymnal.
Okay.
Right. So you look at the pew edition of the hymnal and it has the services that you would kind of do week in, week out. Things like the divine service settings, things like matins and vespers,
funerals,
morning prayer, evening
et cetera.
Prayer. Yeah, a few of those things that you do very commonly. But then there are all these other services that you do throughout the year that aren't really covered in depth in the pew edition. So things like, what prayers do I say for a baptism or for confirmation or for, you know, receiving someone into membership or for releasing someone from membership?
Right.
Or, you know, what sorts of texts should I read at a funeral or at a visitation, right? Mm-hmm. Not just what prayers, but like what readings am I going to do? And so for these, our synod has actually put out a variety of resource materials that are really helpful for us to look to in terms of what do you say? And the ones I want to mention explicitly are the altar book, the agenda, and the pastoral care companion.
Okay.
So the altar book, it's this really big honking book. If you're at the seminary, you can come to the library and see it. Most pastors have it in their church, so you can go up to the altar and you can see it. It's usually sitting on the altar because it's too big to carry it anywhere else. But this is kind of your one-stop shop for a lot of things. So things like the proper preface that pastors pray during the divine service, right? Right after the preface, the part that starts with, it is truly good, right, and salutary, et cetera, et cetera. You don't get the text for that in the pew edition, right? Those are in the altar book.
Right. It's always dot, dot, dot.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you come back to evermore praising you and saying, right? But what do you say in the middle? Well, that's there in the altar book. And a lot of things are in there too that aren't necessarily in the other books, like the Good Friday chief service. Right? What do you do on Good Friday?
Right.
What are the prayers that you say on Good Friday? Those are not going to be in your normal hymnal. Those are there in the altar book.
So those are in the altar book is kind of it's got everything in the kitchen sink that you're going to need for all these kind of little random things, all the things that change throughout the church year, as far as what you say.
It has a lot of those things, yeah, especially the prayers that you'd say in services that aren't just the normal divine service or matins or something like that. So the altar book is a really good resource. The agenda is another one that has a lot of kind of what you would call occasional services. So it has orders for things like weddings, confirmations, things that you're not doing week in and week out, but that we actually do have orders of service for, and that, you know, it's really worth us checking it out and seeing, okay, how have we kind of figured out is the best way to do this? What are the prayers that we would usually say in the rite of confirmation? What are some helpful readings to have read at a wedding? Things like that. The agenda can answer those sorts of questions.
And this is stuff that wouldn't necessarily be in the altar book?
I think some of this stuff is not necessarily in the altar book. It's not that the agenda is a subset of the altar book. Sometimes it is, right? Sometimes they have the same content. But the agenda is actually the one that the pastor can hold in his hand outside of the altar, right? So the altar book is really what you need to know when you're standing at the altar. And a lot of the stuff in the agenda is what do you need to know when you're not standing at the altar, right?
Okay.
What do you need to know when you come down into the congregation for the reception of new members, right? That's the sort of stuff that you're going to want to look in the agenda for, partially because you're just not going to want to carry around this big honking altar book. So that's what that's really good for. And then the pastoral care companion is another resource that kind of overlaps with the agenda in terms of it's a very portable resource. I mean, it can
very
fit
small.
In your pocket. Yeah. And that one has texts for prayers, texts for readings, things that you'll use in various circumstances, not only in kind of one-on-one visitation, which is a lot of what it is. You know, what prayers do you say when you come and do communion with a shut-in and things like that?
Or when someone's dying or
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. So that's one part of what pastoral care companion is good for. But it's also good for things like, you know, visitations which is a public thing that you do. You know, someone dies, there's a visitation, and, you know, maybe there's a formal service involved with the visitation, maybe there isn't. Mm-hmm. But either way, the pastor is usually involved in that sort of thing, and this book gives him the text of some prayers, the text of some psalms, the text of some, you know, scriptural right. passages that he can read. So that's another really good resource in terms of kind of what do I say. So I think the altar book, the agenda, and the pastoral care companion are all really helpful. And we have all of those sitting, I think, on the closed reserves, and they'll find them right up front.
Yeah, we have copies on closed reserve and then also in the reference section at the very least.
Yeah, yeah. So you can find all of those in the library.
So to recap, so we've got the three, and there are three different sizes, which is helpful. We get the big one, the altar book, the medium size one, the agenda, and then the little one, just the prayer the pastoral care companion.
Absolutely.
And then those are used for basically different sorts of things. Altar book is what you need at the altar. Agendas for all the occasional services. And then pastoral care companion is what you use for when you're out and about, visitation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary of kind of what they're usually pretty good for. And I would encourage all of our seminarians before you go out and take a call to kind of familiarize yourself with these resources.
Right.
Because you're going to want to know, you know, when you have this question of what sort of prayer should I say, which of these books is the good one to go to?
Yeah, it's interesting when you're kind of for the first time on the other, like you're used to being in these services.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting being on the other side of it, and you're like, oh, I have to put it together. Like, I never thought about, like, oh, what do I actually have to do for this?
No, it is wild. The first time, like, you have to figure out how to put together a funeral service. Like, maybe you've been to a funeral, you know, a couple of funerals every year in your life, depending on how many people you've known who have died. But, yeah, it's a whole different bear when all of a sudden I have to figure out what prayer I'm supposed to say when the casket comes into the church.
Yeah. Right?
And so that's what these books are really good for, is answering those questions.
Things that you say.
Because you've seen it, but you don't necessarily know where the pastor went to get those words.
Right. He doesn't tell you.
No, of course not. So we have that first question of what should we say?
Okay.
And then there's the second question that kind of comes along with that, which is, what should I do, right? Because it's not just a matter of putting all the right prayers in the service bulletin or reading the right words. There are all these other questions that come up, like, where should I stand?
Mm-hmm.
What direction should I face when I'm standing?
Right.
What should I be doing with my hands? Right? Like, I feel like the hands thing is especially a big deal. You know, you don't want your hands just like flapping around and you look crazy or ridiculous. You want to know, like, what really am I supposed to be doing with them?
I know I always, whenever I had a bulletin over Vickers, like, I would always write, like, face the altar, face the people. Just because, like, if I didn't, like, plot it out beforehand, I would, like, get it wrong, and all of a sudden they're sitting and standing at weird times. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, these are important questions, especially because if you have the congregation stand for too long, like, people are going to get tired and stuff. So, like, they'll notice, too, if you get this wrong. So, you know, the question is, where do you look? And some of those are found actually in the hymnal itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are rubrics, which are the technical term for just what do you do? And they're called rubrics because they're almost always written in red, and it comes from the Latin word rubere for red. So there are these very kind of elementary rubrics in the hymnal, usually things that are just like sit, stand, right? But there are a lot more questions that usually come up. And for that, there's this really great resource that has come out of our synod, written by Arthur Carl Peepcorn, called The Conduct of the Service. And so essentially what Arthur Carl Peepcorn did is he took the rubrics from the Lutheran hymnal, which is the hymnal that our synod put out almost a century ago now.
That would be TLH.
Yes, TLH.
The red hymnal.
Exactly. The red, or some people had it in blue, some people had it in black.
Like, so we have it, yeah, we used to have it in black in the chapel.
Yeah, so you'll hear people call it all sorts of colors, but TLH, the Lutheran hymnal, had
the Lutheran hymnal.
The one Lutheran hymnal. It had, just like the LSB does, it had very kind of surface level rubrics, just kind of sit, stand, those sorts of things. And so Peepcorn kind of elaborates on them and answers all those other little questions that you have about things like, where should I sit? Where should I stand? What do I do with my hands? You know, where do the other people stand around me, right? So if I'm the pastor who's in charge of the service, but I also have like an acolyte, what should he be doing, right? Mm. All of those sorts of questions are dealt with in the conduct of the service. And the book that was recently published, there's kind of a newer edition of this. It was put out by Emmanuel Press. And it's very helpful because Arthur Carl Peepcorn was a professor here at Concordia Seminary. And he kind of came up with this conduct of the service because as he would deal with his students, he was trying to teach them how to do the divine service on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what this arises out of. But the result of that is that a lot of what he's doing is focused on Sunday morning divine service. right?
Sure.
But there is, of course, more to it than that, right? There are midweek services when maybe you're doing Vespers.
Right.
Or, you know, there's Matins, there's all these other things. And so what Emmanuel Press has done is they've taken Arthur Carl Peepcorn's book and they've combined it with the work of one of his students, Charles McLean, who is currently an LCMS pastor in Baltimore. Arthur Carl Peepcorn died in the early 70s, but Charles McLean is still around. And he kind of expanded on Peepcorn's work on the rubrics to include things like Matins and Vespers and other things that are kind of outside the main service.
God.
So this more recent form of the conduct of the service really has a lot of extra resources, too, that are very helpful. And this one I know for sure we have in the seminary library because I checked it out there myself to read it as soon as I got to the seminary. My fieldwork pastor, that was like assignment number one.
Okay.
Is he said, you know, you gotta go to the library and check out Conduct of the Service by Arthur Carl Peepcorn. And if you check out the newer one that has both him and Charles McLean in it, that's a lot of really good information for the questions of what do I do.
So to clarify, in Peepcorn's work, he took the rubrics that were in TLH and then he expanded them. Is that right?
Essentially, and he
went into more detail.
He went into more detail because what happened with TLH is that they just kind of gave very surface level rubrics that mostly applied to the entire congregation, right? Because
sure.
When you have the pew edition, people don't necessarily need to see in the pew edition that the pastor should hold his hands in the Aaron's position as he's doing the proper preface, right? That's not really necessary for them to know. And so the TLH kind of kept it bare bones, and then Peepcorn kind of answered the questions that an ordained person would probably have about, okay, now what am I supposed to do? Not just what is the whole congregation supposed to do that's mostly kind of covered in the hymnal, but what do I do? And he did this on the basis of kind of the more detailed rubrics that Lutherans had put into a lot of books in the past. So while these weren't necessarily covered in the Lutheran hymnal because it kind of kept its surface level,
right.
There were a lot of earlier resources that had been put out by Lutherans,
and he's largely
in the German language or in Scandinavian languages. And Peepcorn is going through these and saying, okay, this is how we've traditionally done these things that the ordained men in the church really need to know about.
Gotcha. So this is a good resource if you want to know kind of what is the traditional option for X, Y, and Z. And
yeah.
He's doing that for
us. Yeah,
he's
very good at that.
And available in English, no less.
It is, which is really very helpful for
yes.
a lot of our seminarians. Yeah, it makes a difference.
Oh, that's really great. I like the separation between what you say and what you do, because those are quite different questions.
Yeah, and we have to answer them both, and we have kind of two different sets of resources that are really helpful with that, I think.
So let's talk about, I think these go together. So resources for kind of stuff going on throughout the church year, and then also the lectionary, which, you know, goes through the church year. Are there any recommendations for that sort of thing? I guess the agenda, altar book, et cetera, as well as Peepcorn's work would cover some of the stuff that happens throughout the church year as well.
No, it does. But I think there are other resources that can be really helpful kind of depending on what you want to look at. So in terms of like how to put together a service well from week to week, depending on what Sunday it is in the church year and kind of where it falls. One place that I would start with as a musician, because I think that music is important, and sometimes, you know, seminarians and pastors don't have musical backgrounds. I mean, I do, and I'm very thankful for that. But, you know, some of us can't carry a tune in a bucket and don't really know the hymns that well. And that's something that we can work with. But one of the resources that people should be aware of is there's a resource that Concordia Publishing House put out called the Lutheran Service Book Hymn Selection Guide.
The Hymn Selection Guide, okay.
Yes, and what that does is it takes each Sunday of the liturgical year, and it does both lectionaries. It does the historic one-year lectionary and the three-year lectionary. So it has all of them kind of together in this one resource. And it chooses hymns that match the lessons for each Sunday. And it actually does even one thing better than that, which is that it matches hymns to each individual lesson. So, for example, there are usually three lessons, right, for most of the Sundays, the Old Testament and the Epistle and the Gospel. And so there'll be a list for each of these Sundays. It'll give you the lessons. And then it'll have a list of hymns that relate very strongly to the Old Testament lesson, a list of hymns that relate very strongly to the Epistle lesson, and a list of hymns that relate strongly to the Gospel lesson.
Right.
Or, you know, if there's one that has to do with kind of both the Old Testament and the Gospel or something, it'll indicate that,
right,
too. And so that's really helpful because, you know, as you're looking to, like, what hymns am I supposed to do? This will really help you to see, okay, these are hymns that will work well for kind of the themes that are brought out in the scriptural lessons of this service. And also, you know, if I know ahead of time, I'm going to be preaching on the Epistle. you can look and say, oh, these hymns are the ones that relate really well specifically to the epistle lesson, right? Mm-hmm. Not just to the Sunday, but to the epistle lesson. Same right. for if you're going to be focusing on the gospel or the Old Testament. And so that's a really helpful resource for pastors and for seminarians mm-hmm. as they have to kind of put the musical end of the service together in consultation with their organists or whatever other musicians they have in their congregation. If you use the historic lectionary, there are other helpful lists, too, of these sorts of things that have been assembled by individual pastors and professors within right. the LCMS. I don't know if any of them are posted publicly, but honestly, if anyone wants to get in touch with me, I'd be glad to forward them along because I have them
sure.
all. As a church musician, I have them on my computer.
Right.
So I can send them to you, and they're really great things. But these are really good resources in terms of kind of seeing how the music of the liturgical year can kind of best be used in our services and what sorts of musical things that guys might want to pick.
Now, that sounds a lot more efficient than kind of randomly flipping to the hymnal, which
yeah.
I think is something I remember doing over Vicarage a bit.
Well, it's understandable that people would do that. But the other thing about that is that, you know, when you just randomly open up the hymnal and flip through it, then a lot of times you land on the hymns that you know well and like.
Yes.
Which is fine, because of course the hymns that I know well and like are great hymns.
Exactly. But, I have excellent taste.
Yes. But the hymn selection guide has the advantage of really kind of taking into account the broader scope of hymns in our hymnal so that you can look at it and you can say, you know, I might not know this hymn very well. I might
That's
not be
really
very
good.
Familiar with it, but this is exactly what I'm going to preach on.
Yeah.
Right? So I should make sure that my congregation sings
That's
this one
good.
On this Sunday. I think it's a really helpful sort of resource. In terms of other things having to do with the lectionary that people
yeah.
might want to look at, if you want to look into the history of the lectionary
yeah.
and how these different Sundays wound up falling where they do, or feast days, or how the lessons kind of got chosen and these sorts of things, there's a book that we have in the library that was put out for the Synod in consultation with our previous hymnal, Lutheran Worship.
Right.
The old blue book, as people say. And it's called Lutheran Worship History and Practice. That book is really helpful because it takes various scholars from throughout the Synod, a lot of whom are still kind of out there working today because
yeah,
this
yeah.
wasn't super long ago. And they handle various different aspects of what came together to become this hymnal, how they, you know, put together the church calendar, how the lectionary came together, how various prayer offices came together, things like matins and vespers. And so if you'd really want to look into kind of the history of how the lectionaries were put together, Lutheran Worship History and Practice is a really great book for that. If you're going to look for resources on the lectionary itself, CPH has published a lot of books that are really helpful in this regard. One of these is that they've published the lectionary books themselves. Right, the sort
right.
of thing that you want to have in your lectern so that you're not flipping through the Bible to get to the epistle lesson and everyone has to wait for you to start, right?
Or flipping through on your phone.
Exactly. I've actually
had to do that before.
I've been there. Not good, right? Don't want to have to do that. So these books are great because they just have in one book all of the lessons organized
nice
by the Sundays.
Big font.
Yeah, exactly. They have the lines like broken up so that you know where you're supposed to breathe. Those are really great. Everyone should take a look at those. They have those for both the historic lectionary and each year of the three-year lectionaries. You can find them up in the closed reserves in the library. Those are really very helpful.
And they do try to lay it out nicely so it's easy to read and whatnot.
Yeah, it's very accessible. They also have published a book called Propers of the Day. And Propers of the Day is important because the lectionary book has the readings that you do. But there are all of these other propers that go into the service that are part of the lectionary that are
the
associated
prayers,
with these
et
readings.
Cetera.
Things like the collect of the day.
Right.
Right. Or the gradual, the introit. All of these things are not in the lectionary book. If memory serves, pretty much none of them are in the pew edition of the hymnal either.
I think that's
where you're,
right.
Where you're going to want to go is to the propers of the day. And that will kind of answer those questions for you. What are these various prayers that move throughout the church year? There are a couple other projects that are really helpful for this, especially in terms of kind of smaller days that the LSB materials don't necessarily address.
Sure.
So like the LSB is focused on the Sundays of the church year and then some of the really big feasts and festivals. So like Christmas, Epiphany, the Feasts of the Apostles, things that you
right.
might celebrate even though they don't fall on a Sunday. But they don't necessarily, aren't dedicated to all of the other days, the smaller days that you might find through the church year. So like if you're going to have a celebration of St. Lucia's Day, right?
Right?
Say you're Swedish and you want to
yeah,
celebrate
yeah.
St. Lucia's Day. What lessons do you use for that? The LSB materials aren't really going to cover that because they don't cover the smaller things. But there are a few resources that are really helpful for this. The first one was put out by Pastor H.R. Curtis. That's how you'll find it written, Heath Curtis.
Okay, old fieldwork supervisor.
My old fieldwork supervisor, good friend of mine. And he put out a book called The Daily Divine Service Book. And what that book is really for is it gives you the readings for literally every day of the church's year based on certain historic Lutheran sources, right? So he'll go and he'll look and he'll say, okay, what lessons has the church used for something like St. Lucia's Day or St. Nicholas's Day or some of these days that the LSB is not necessarily, you know, focusing in on. And you'll find those in his book on the Daily Divine Service Book. Additionally, there's a project that's kind of grown out of that book that's going on right now called the Lutheran Missal Project, where there are certain pastors in the LCMS, I think they're mostly pastors, there might be other folks involved too, who want to kind of expand that project out to look at all of the various German missals from kind of the time of the Reformation and, you know.
And it's probably good to clarify, you're not talking about, you know, ballistic missiles.
No, yes, it's M-I-S-S-A-L, missiles, not the sort of things that you, fire across oceans or anything. And the missal is the book that the pastor would have up at the altar. So it's roughly similar to our LSB altar book. But historically, it would have all the lessons kind of in it so that you could just read all the lessons straight out of the missal. And so you can look at all these Lutheran missals from the past and you can find the lessons for all these days, the prayers that were done on all these days that are kind of in, you know, more detail than some of the LSB resources because they have various smaller days of the year that the LSB doesn't focus in on. So the Lutheran Missal Project is currently working and releasing a lot of their findings in terms of what they're running into for various days of the church year. Gotcha. Eventually, they're going to come out with a Lutheran Missal is the goal. They're going to actually print a book.
That's going to be huge.
That will account for all those things. Well, they're trying to do the things where, you know, like when you print a Bible, it would be like huge if you didn't have the really thin pages and stuff. So they're going to try and do that sort of thing, print it like a Bible so that it's not massive. But there's going to be a lot of information in there.
They should have an edition that's like extra massive. Like they print it with the thick cardstock that the altar book is made out of. Like I want it to be like comically large.
You should let them know they have a website. I think they have room for suggestions. So those are really good for kind of the smaller days of the church year. And of course, they also include the Sundays and things like that. But especially if you want to look at things that the LSB might not cover, those are really helpful. There are also a lot of resources for preaching the lectionary. Right, which is in preaching these various days of the church year and the texts that come up. One of those is a resource from our own seminary, the Lectionary at Lunch podcast,
right,
that have been put out online. I hope all of our students are made familiar with that in their homiletics courses. That's where I was kind of put onto them. And those are really great, especially if your congregation's on the three-year lectionary. If you're on the historic lectionary, the seminary hasn't put out a Lectionary at Lunch series on that yet. So you might not be able to find what you're looking for there. But for the historic lectionary, there's a series of books that we have in the seminary library called The Sermon and the Propers by Fred Lindemann. And that goes in detail into kind of the readings of the one-year lectionary and various kind of homiletical directions that you might want to go
with it.
So yeah, Fred Lindemann does a good job with that. And then for either lectionary, for both the three-year or the one-year, Issues Etc. is actually a good place to go. This is a podcast that's put out by an ordained pastor in the LCMS just right across the river in Collinsville. And they do interviews called Looking Forward to Sunday Morning that are kind of homiletical looks at the various lectionary texts. They've done it on the historic lectionary with Pastor David Peterson from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, who really does a good job. He kind of knows how the one-year lessons work together and what homiletical directions you might want to take them. And for the three-year lectionary, they've been doing them with Dr. Carl Fakencher, who's a homiletics professor at Concordia Fort Wayne. And so those are really helpful resources too, kind of a nice addition to the Lectionary at Lunch resources that we have here at the seminary.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's really helpful. Before we close, is there any other that's a lot of resources. But I think it's good for people to be aware of them, especially because you have the time now where you could walk down to the library and most if not all of these take a look at, figure out what you find to be helpful. And then, you know, when you get to a call, like figure out what you might need to order and get.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is the time, right? As a seminarian where you compile the resources that you're going to use when you get out there and you're in your office and you have to actually do these things from week to week. I guess the one other piece of encouragement that I would have for seminarians, if you're interested in these sorts of things and you have these sorts of questions, is remember that you're not alone. Other people in the synod who are interested in these sorts of questions, who are asking these questions, and who are actually doing the research and the legwork to kind of give you an idea of where you might go. One of these places that you can look, there's a journal that's put out by some pastors in the LCMS called Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. You can find that in the periodical section of the library.
We do.
We have it there. And, you know, that journal is kind of a mix of various editorial things and also kind of scholarly works on the liturgy. And they're often addressing the kinds of practical questions that come up with pastors in terms of what do I say, what do I do, what's the historic practice of the church on these things. And so, you know, that's definitely a resource to check out. And then there are also various conferences that go on throughout the LCMS that often handle these sorts of questions. I know that the Bugenhagen Conference is a kind of newer conference up in Racine, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They sometimes handle questions like this of, you know, how do pastors go about liturgical things. There's also the St. Michael's Conference that happens every year in Detroit. Okay. There's the St. Mark's Conference out in Baltimore that sometimes handles these sorts of questions. So just know that you're not alone if you're asking these questions. There are other people out there who are asking the same questions and who are actually putting in the research so that they can tell the rest of the church what they found so that you don't have to go and do all this legwork yourself. And
I love
that's really helpful.
I love it.
Absolutely.
That's really great.
There's a whole cadre of LCMS pastors who are here to help you out.
Well, Christian, thank you for all of that. I'm sure this will be so helpful for folks kind of depending on where they are with this sort of thing. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. God bless y'all.
If you enjoyed Back to the Sources, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Facebook so that you don't miss a single episode. This podcast is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.